Good day to all of you. We gather once again for our Lenten service on this April 1st. Once again, as you hear this recording, we invite you to click on the link that gives you the worship folder for our service, allowing you to follow along as we rejoice again in the Son of God who goes forth to war. And so we begin. In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy, and in your faithfulness come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?" "Yes, I believe." Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Amen. We pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, and we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with lessons 5 and 6 of the Passion History according to the harmony of the four Gospels. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who is misleading the people. Look, I have examined him before you. I have found no basis for a charge against this man regarding the things of which you accuse him. Herod did not either, because he sent him back to us. See, he has done nothing worthy of death, so I will punish him and then release him." At the time of the feast, the governor had a custom to release one prisoner to the crowd, whomever they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner named Barabbas, who had been thrown in prison for rebellion in the city and for murder. The crowd came up and began to ask him to do what he usually did for them. So when they were assembled, Pilate said to them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews to you? Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate, in fact, knew that they had handed Jesus over to him because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent him a message. She said, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, since I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus put to death. The governor asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They all shouted together with one voice, "Take him away! Release Barabbas to us." Pilate said to them, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews? What should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Crucify him." But the governor said, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they kept shouting even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate addressed them again, because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" He said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no grounds for sentencing him to death, so I will whip him and release him." But they kept pressuring him with loud shouts, demanding that he be crucified. And their voices were overwhelming. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, and that instead it was turning into a riot, he decided that what they demanded would be done. He took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "His blood will be on us and on our children." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, took the staff, and hit him repeatedly on his head. They kept hitting him in the face. Pilate went outside again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you, to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and temple police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He went back inside the palace again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate asked him, "Are you not talking to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me at all if it had not been given to you from above. Therefore the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the Jews shouted, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside. He sat down on the judge's seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, or Gabbatha in Aramaic. It was about the sixth hour on the day of preparation for the Passover. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. So then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. After they had mocked him, the soldiers took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him, with Jesus carrying his own cross. As they were going out of the city, a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. They placed the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of the people was following him, including women who were mourning and wailing for him. Jesus turned to them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Yes, be sure of this, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never gave birth, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things to the greenwood, what will happen to the dry? Two other men, who were criminals, were led away with him to be executed. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. They offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. They crucified him there with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now it was the third hour when they crucified him. Pilate also had a sign written and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic, which was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let's not tear it. Instead, let's cast lots to see who gets it. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So this is what the soldiers did. Then they sat down and were keeping watch over him there. The people stood watching, and even the rulers were ridiculing him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, the Chosen One. People who passed by kept insulting him, shaking their heads and saying, You who were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests, experts in the law, and elders kept mocking him. They said, He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him. Because he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, even the criminals who were crucified with him kept insulting him. One of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? We are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus said to him, Amen, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, Here is your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. It was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened. At the ninth hour, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, Listen, he's calling Elijah. After this, knowing that everything had now been accomplished, in order that the Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." A jar full of wine vinegar was sitting there. Immediately one of them ran, took a sponge, and soaked it with vinegar. Then he put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink. When Jesus had taken the wine vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks were split. Tombs were opened, and many bodies of saints who had fallen asleep were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and, after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus with him saw the earthquake and how he cried out and breathed his last, they were terrified and began to glorify God, saying, "This man really was righteous. Truly this was the Son of God." All the crowds gathered to see this spectacle. When they saw what had happened, they returned home, beating their chests. All those who knew him and many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and who had served him were there watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, Salome, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Since it was preparation day, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses over the Sabbath. Because that Sabbath was special, they asked Pilate to have their legs broken and the bodies taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and then of the other who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. Immediately, blood and water came out. The man who saw it has testified so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth. Indeed, these things happened so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. Again, another Scripture says, "They will look at the one they pierce." So far, the passion history of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed, the Son of God goes forth to war. I don't know about you, but these last couple of weeks have seemed rather long. And yet, it's also hard to believe that we are already at the last of our six Wednesday services. We focused on our warrior, the Son of God, who goes forth to war. We've been reminded that he is the promised warrior. He is the one who can handle the skirmishes with Satan and death. He's the one who knows his enemy and engages the enemy. He did all this while appearing to be nothing more than what you and I are, human. Today he looks like so many who have rallied followers only to have his following fall apart. We focus our attention on this one short verse from John chapter 6, as this evening we see Jesus as the warrior rejected by many. John 6 verse 66 says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore." This is the word of our God. John 6 has been called the Bread of Life chapter. The chapter begins with the feeding of the 5,000. Crowds of people are following Jesus. They've seen the miracles. They are amazed. They hope to see more. They did. More than 5,000 were fed. They saw the miraculous sign. This really is the prophet who is coming into the world, they said. But they were looking for a different kind of prophet. They wanted a king who would rule on this earth and keep feeding them. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came with something better than bread and fish. As we scan through John chapter 6, we see what he brings. Himself. I am the bread of life. It's a natural picture. The people were just fed. They want to know what sign he could do, and then they give him an example, the manna that came from heaven during the Exodus. So Jesus uses the picture. He says in verse 31, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Jesus came for more than preserving physical life. He came to bring eternal life. But this isn't quite what they were looking for. This is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it? They weren't looking for Jesus for forgiveness. They were looking for what would satisfy their wants and their needs here. Is Jesus what we're looking for? Do we find his reminder of sin to be a hard teaching that we'd just as soon not hear? Do we find his promise of forgiveness to be a hard teaching that doesn't really meet my current needs? After this, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. It's a short and simple verse. Many turned back. You can see the confused, fallen faces. You can see them slowly turning around as they hear what he says and conclude that Jesus is not what they were looking for. And we're not walking with him anymore. Simple, powerful, sad words. Instead of walking with Jesus, they are now walking away. Instead of walking with Jesus, they are now walking alone. Jesus is a rejected warrior. They were his disciples. They were people who were following and listening and learning from Jesus. I am the bread of life is such a beautiful gospel, but they didn't want it. These followers rejected Jesus. They rejected the only way to be saved. Back to our earlier question, is Jesus what we're looking for? We look for the wrong things. We are often too focused on earth and this life to the point we really don't see the need to think about what comes next. We, without the Spirit, can't even begin to understand what we should be looking for. Even after becoming Jesus' disciples, we still struggle, don't we? We often attend worship with the question, how can Jesus help me now? How can he help me with my finances, my work, my family? How can he meet the needs that I have, my needs of community, belonging, purpose, and worth? How is sitting in a church going to address my needs? Did you notice that all those questions betray the fact that I may not be following Jesus, but rather want Jesus following me? Besides, so many reject him. So many, from so many places, can so many be wrong? Even as we fight our own sinful selfishness that asks these questions, remember what we learned a couple services ago. The real you is the redeemed you. Even if Jesus is the warrior rejected by many, don't walk away from the one who redeemed you. Jesus knew this would happen. He knew he'd be rejected, despised, and ignored. Not only did he know it, it's why he came. Every sin rejects God, even my so-called little sins. Every sinner rejects God. That's just what sin and sinners do. But God never rejected us. Let's back up to verses 35 through 39. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have also seen me, and you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And so, Jesus kept walking. The rejection didn't deter him. He didn't give up because so many of his disciples turned and walked away. He kept walking because he was working the plan to redeem everyone, including those who rejected him. He kept walking and working the plan that saved you and saved me. And so Jesus kept walking. He walked alone to the cross and tomb. He is the only one who can take that walk. He is perfect. Even while enduring rejection, he didn't succumb to the selfishness that leads to anger, vengeance, or simple surrender. He is perfect. In perfect love and trust, he gave his perfect life in place of sin. The Father now has the perfection he's looking for. He has it in Jesus. Jesus' perfect life then became the perfect sacrifice. His death, though undeserved, was accepted as the death to pay for all who do deserve death. The Father has his justice. Sin is paid for. The price, because of guilt, is paid. Justice is met. Jesus is your life. You are now perfect in God's sight. Jesus is your death. You have already paid for every sin committed. That victory is secured by this perfect warrior. We are now walking with him. We are no longer rejecting him. Rather, we are rejoicing in him. We are no longer lost in sin. Rather, we've been found by grace. The bread of life supplies just what we need for eternity. His words are just what we need to hear, no matter what we are facing. Jesus is what meets our needs, now and forever. Now, we can confess with Peter, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The Son of God goes forth to war, a warrior rejected by so many, yet a warrior who loves all. This next week, we see the height of the battle. We see the seriousness of the war. We see the war won. This next week is not going to be at all what we envisioned it would be, but it is still Holy Week. The Son of God will still go forth to war. The enemy will still be defeated. We will still rejoice that by God's grace we are no longer turning and walking away from Jesus, but are walking with him. And what's even better than that? He is walking with us. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, how great is your love for us. You willingly sent your beloved Son to a world of sinful rebels. The innocent one came to serve the guilty, but his own people rejected him, and his enemies tortured him and put him to death. Because you did not withhold your one and only Son, But let him take our guilt on himself to set us free. We praise your holy name. Dear Son of God, our brother, how great is your love for us. You allowed yourself to be condemned so that we could be declared not guilty. Fill our hearts with the same self-sacrificing love that you showed us. You allowed no suffering, no fear, and no doubt to swerve you from your path to Calvary. Give us the same single-minded dedication and unshakable commitment that we daily take up our cross and follow you. Dear Holy Spirit, how great is your love for us. By word and sacrament, you have warmed and transformed our foolish and stubborn hearts, making us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus and receptive to his gospel of forgiveness. Hold his cross before our eyes, that we may dedicate our lives to him who died for us. Make us strong in the hour of temptation. Lead us to love and serve our neighbor as unselfishly as Jesus did. Keep us in the true faith, in unity with all faithful Christians, and grant us, when it is our time, a blessed death. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we join in Luther's evening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. Forgive me all my sins, and graciously keep me this night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We close our service by singing the first four verses of hymn 376.
Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, who can a word against me say? Fully through you absolved I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. Lord, I believe your precious blood, which at the very throne of God forever will for sinners plead, for mean, for my soul was shed. Lord, I believe were sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. You have for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made.
Once again, thank you for joining us this evening. It is our prayer that these worship services have been a blessing to you as we rejoice in the war that the Son of God has fought for us. Just a couple of things to remind you of. This past Sunday, the 29th, was supposed to have been our door offering to help support the students from our congregation who are studying for the ministry. We'll probably spread that out over the next couple of weeks. We do encourage you that if you would like to contribute to that so-called now door offering, as you mail or drop off your offering, please mark it for that MLC door offering, and we'll make sure that it gets to those students. Also, just a reminder that we had some communion plans for this coming Sunday. Those plans have been now canceled. Those plans were made before the stay-at-home orders were made, and so that's what we want you to do. We want you to stay at home. We want you to stay safe. We want you to stay healthy. And so those communion plans are canceled for the moment. There is a letter that is posted on our website. It was also emailed out to you. We ask that you would take a look at that letter for further details. We also encourage you to come back to this website next week, beginning with Palm Sunday, as we rejoice in our Lord and in His grace. God's blessings to you all.